Hot Business on Hot 102.7.
And finally, as we approach 7 o'clock on this Monday evening, we'll end with markets and company news. Viv Govender from Rand Swiss is with us. Viv, good evening to you. Resources under some pressure on the JSE today, and most notably a share like Goldfields down 8.5% and Harmony by about 7.5%. What's your reading?
It's not quite a resources story. It's more of a precious metals, especially gold story, like you mentioned. If you look at the oil price, for instance, it's up quite significantly, and therefore we see Sasol rising quite nicely. I think what we're seeing is a relaxation of tensions globally, not just do we have a ceasefire with India and Pakistan. We seem to have a deal with the U.S. and China. And both those things, I think, would be quite positive for global sentiment and therefore negative for gold.
In fact, looking at Sasol, its share price today is up by just over 6%. So that's some good news. So let's get back to that China-U.S. deal, if we can. Late last night, the U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent saying, and I quote him, substantial progress in talks between his team and China on defusing this trade war. I guess, though, there'll still be a degree of nervousness until we get some sort of final resolution, because the goalposts on this playing field have been moving all the time.
Oh yes, well certainly, not just moving all the time. People are not even certain who's playing the ball. I mean, we had a dispute a while ago, which was quite ridiculous, considering this is the leaders of the two biggest countries in the world, where basically the U.S. was saying Trump is getting calls from China, and the Chinese saying, we're not calling you. It was a ridiculous amount of uncertainty, and it's basically stupid gamesmanship being played between these two countries. But that being said, I mean, if there is a deal to be done between the U.S. and China, like there was done between the U.S. and the U.K. last week, I think it might calm global tensions down significantly. But we must be aware of one thing. The U.S. is not going for a free trade kind of policy out there. Even with the U.K., which is its friendliest ally, effectively, in which it sells a lot of stuff to anyway, it still ended up with a 10% basic tariff with some exceptions. And I think that's going to be the future for the U.S. going forward. The 10% basic tariff might just be something is the best you could achieve in the current U.S. environment.
What's your, let's just go back to gold bullion if you can. You referenced it a little earlier. I've got it at $3,214 an ounce. That's down by over 3% today. What's your sense on bullion's trajectory?
Look, I think this kind of sentiment is quite positive, in the short term. But I do think longer term, gold probably has a place. We are seeing a world that's a bit more uncertain. We are likely, even with the trade deals we're seeing between the U.S. and the other countries, likely to see people move away from the U.S. dollar towards other alternatives as a reserve currency. And gold is obviously going to play a part in that as well. So I think in an uncertain world and where we are moving away from the dollar as the benchmark, we probably are going to be seeing some kind of resurgence of gold as well as other safe haven assets.
Viv, let's look at a couple of items of company news tonight. Let's start with MTN. First quarter earnings reflecting strong service revenue growth. And again, the group will be happy about what's emerging out of Nigeria.
Yeah, look, I mean, if you look at MTN, it does seem South Africa is a bit of a laggard in that space. Nigeria, Ghana, despite some of the issues those countries have had, have, done significantly better. Looking at, like 40, almost 40% in some places. But in South Africa, basically quite flat. They are looking at, obviously, voice being very flat, while, services data, fintech especially taking off quite nicely. And I think, showing that that's probably an area of growth for the company, whereas like the traditional voice is pretty much, a mature, if not dying industry going forward.
And also interesting to see that its fintech transaction volumes have increased by almost 14%. And again, the active users in that space increasing by just over 1%, 62, let's call it 63 million people. Again, that's very much a pivotal focus as far as a lot of telcos are concerned.
Most certainly. I mean, if you think about, Africa basically skipped the landline, it was part of telephones went directly into cell phones. It may just be that, many countries might skip the normal traditional banking branch kind of thing and go more directly towards mobile banking. And I think that probably makes sense. I don't see why we need to have the same kind of, banking business model we've had for hundreds of years when the technology has changed so significantly over the last couple of decades. And I think in many ways, things like, what we've seen in South Africa with smaller banks rising quite rapidly, like Capitec, and internationally as well, I think it's quite possible that many countries in Africa will be able to actually skip, just the normal traditional banking kind of phase of their financial evolution.
Viv, I think it was towards the end of November last year that there was that spin out from Pick and Pay, and Boxer listed on the JSE, reporting today an 11.8% decline in full year headline earnings. But interesting to see, in spite of that, though, and I think you'll tell us exactly what the reason was, turnover is up 13%, and its trading margin is ahead of its pre-listing statement's 5% guidance. I think that's 5.5% now.
Yeah, look, I mean, if you look at, for instance, what's been happening with regards to Tulis, share price, it's been quite a bit of a roller coaster, you know, up a little bit at the start of the year, coming down quite significantly. Look, I think apparently they're doing a lot of the stuff in terms of the fall in earnings on the Judo's shares, basically more shares out there, less basically revenue per share, less earnings per share. So that obviously makes a difference when it comes to basically, dividing by per share. And it helps you, obviously, to hotel earnings per share. You have 157.4 million new shares out there. It's going to have a bit of pressure on that number.
Tiger Brands, I see today, Viv Govender, making an offer, and I think we have been expecting this for some time, to its listeriosis victims. It has taken a long time for that to do it. What impact is this going to have on the brand and on the share price?
Well, firstly, I think this is shameful. I mean, if you were responsible for something like this here and taking this long to basically get a deal made or basically an offer made that's going to be reasonable for the affected people, I think is a bit negative. The share price is up today and has been up quite significantly over the last little while. You know, the last month it's up over 10%. So maybe the shareholders are looking at this as a bit of a positive. But I do think it is looking at how many years has passed and many of the people involved in this, had children, had health repercussions of it. So it's been a very long path to get to this point.
Yeah, the share price today up by just over 3%. Two important numbers this week. First of all, the Bureau for Economic Research, that's based at Stellenbosch University, I guess not surprisingly, has downgraded its GDP forecast from 2% to 1.5%. I think that follows a trend from the IMF. And also S&P Global is expected to announce our sovereign credit rating decision, I think later this week, either Thursday or Friday. Two significant numbers as far as the South African economy is concerned.
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't know how much a surprise this can be with regards to, South Africa's, rate growth being downgraded. This has been the case for the last several years. Whatever the number is at the start of the year, you can almost certainly predict it'll be lower when the actual number comes down. And over the further out in the future, things are more positive, analysts are about South Africa's growth rate. We were always growing at much faster 2 years in the future than we are growing in the current year. And that is, I think, quite a bit of disappointment. Look, I mean, the problem with South Africa is well known. We have issues with infrastructure, we have issues with education, we have issues with regulation around how easy it is to basically get a business up and running. And of course, bottlenecks of things like, for instance, we talked about, transport and, Eskom, et cetera. The solution to this is going to be long-term and, very difficult to implement. And, the hope we had over the last couple of years with the GNU, recently and more, in the past, things like Ramaphosa, et cetera. Unfortunately, none of these things have actually resulted in the fast economic growth we need. And for those that don't understand, 1.5% to 2% is meaningless. We need 4%, 5%, 6% growth rates to take care of the worst unemployment rate in the world.
I'm going to leave it there with my thanks. So we'll talk again next week. That's our market commentator for this Monday evening, Viv Govender from Rand Swiss.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7.
Hot Business is brought to you by Standard Bank, proudly at Nampo Park, championing Africa's agricultural future with insights, networks, and financial solutions that help agribusiness grow beyond borders.